Amen. James, chapter number one. James, chapter one. James chapter 1, go to verse number 13. James chapter 1, verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Our Father, I pray you'd bless us now as we study. I pray that we would learn your word to live it out. Help us understand the truth that is here. But knowing the truth, I pray we would put it into our lives and live it out for your honor and glory. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we began our study of the book of James, and James opens up with the idea of testings and trials. Now, we're all going to go through testings and trials, but understand that when you go through these testing and trials, God is at work in your life. Amen. Trust Him. Lean on Him. Look to Him and allow Him to make you what you should be. Allow Him to mature you and to complete you and to help you be like Jesus Christ. Today, He switches gears and He talks about temptation to sin, a solicitation to evil. Mark Antony, the great Roman ruler, silver-tongued speaker, philosopher, thinker, warrior, as a child, his tutor said to him, Marcus, colossal child, thou art able to conquer the world, but not your own desires. Oscar Wilde, I can resist anything but temptation. We must realize that we are accountable to God for sin. We're accountable for our sin. We are personally responsible for the decisions we make and personally responsible for our sin. We're good at passing the buck and blaming somebody else when we do what is wrong. Amen? That goes all the way back to Adam. Adam, where are you? What have you done? What did he say? God, it was that woman that you gave me. So he blames his wife, and he blames God all at the same time. Eve, what happened? Well, the serpent beguiled me. And it is continued down through the ages. We do the exact same thing. Some people try to blame God. That's what the Jews did in this day. They believe that God created the desire for sin that is in us. Therefore, when we sin, it's God's fault. People do that today in different ways. Other people try to blame Satan. You know, the devil made me do it. Folks, the devil can't make you do anything. He can tempt you, but he can't make you do anything. So blaming the devil doesn't work. Blaming God doesn't work. Other people try to blame their circumstances. They blame their circumstances. Well, you know, it's kind of my personality. Well, it's the environment that I was brought up in. Or it's this person, or it's that person, or it's this fault, or it's that fault. And everybody tries to blame somebody else, but we are accountable to God for our own actions. We are responsible when we sin. Amen. A governor went in to visit the inmates of a prison, and when he got done, he pardoned one man. And I asked him, why did you pardon this one man? He said, well, as I talked to all of the inmates in there, they were all innocent of the crimes that they were convicted of. But this one man knew he had done wrong, and he was in there for that reason. And I didn't want him corrupting all of those innocent other inmates. So I let him go. And that's basically the way we are today in our world. We didn't do it. Or if we did do it, it was someone else's fault that we did it. No, the Bible tells us we are responsible when we sin. James tells us that we are accountable and we must learn to deal with temptation. So number one, consider the temptation. Consider the temptations. Look at verse number 13 again. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. First of all, consider their inevitability. Just like temptations in the idea of testings and trials, last week we talked about, he doesn't say, if you are tempted. He said, when you are tempted. He doesn't say, let no man say, if he is tempted, I am tempted of God. He said, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. We are going to be tempted, and there's absolutely no age when the battle is over. You cannot say, well, I've reached sinless perfection. I've reached 55. I've reached 60. I've reached 75. I've reached 85. I've reached 90. No longer temptation bothers me. No, no age that it's over. It begins when you are born, and temptation will bother you all of your life. Understand, it is there. Consider their inevitability. They will come. Be prepared for them. They will come. Consider their source. First of all, they are not from God. Amen? When you are tested in your faith, that comes from God. God does test you, not so we can find out what you're going to do. We said it last week. He's God. He knows what you're going to do. He tests you to improve you, to mature you, to complete you in Jesus Christ. He tests you so that you'll find out about Him, not so that He'll find out about you. A solicitation to evil does not come from God. God cannot be tempted, we are told here. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. He cannot be tempted. The word is untemptable. God is completely untemptable. He has no experience with evil at all. He knows nothing of evil in and of himself, in his own character. He cannot be tempted. And if he cannot be tempted, then he cannot tempt. He said here, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God cannot be tempted, and God does not tempt at all. Look at verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God does not tempt. He does not do evil. Everything good in our lives comes from God. Amen. Amen. Good comes from God, not the solicitation to evil. It says here, there's no variableness in God. There's no variation in God. Kind of like there's no optical distortion in God. Tim Hawkins is a Christian comedian, and some of you have heard some of Tim Hawkins' things. And he goes through this one little bit where he talks about, when I got married, I got a helper in my car. I no longer have to know how fast I'm going because my helper tells me how fast I'm going. Now, it's hilarious. You'll have to listen to it sometime. But have you ever noticed that if you're sitting right in front of the speedometer, you know how fast you're going? But the person sitting over there sees from a different angle. And there's an optical distortion in there because of the different angle. And it might read something a little bit different than what you read because of the optical distortion that is there. You know what I'm talking about? You can look at God from every angle possible and there is no optical distortion. There is no variation. There is no variableness. He is God. He is holy. He is righteous. He cannot be tempted, and He will tempt no one. Amen. Nor shadow of turning. Hey, tonight there's a big eclipse happening. Have you seen that? The sun is actually going to be blocked out and won't reflect the moon by the earth. It's going to take place. There's no shadow of turning with God. There will never, ever be an eclipse of who God is. His character will never be eclipsed. There'll be never a shadow go across him. He is God. He always does what is right. He only does what is right. He will not be tempted with evil. Neither will he tempt anyone at all. Amen. Temptation doesn't come from God. Temptation doesn't begin with Satan either. In all reality, Satan cannot make you do anything. He can't make you do anything. He has a role to play. He's got a part to play in it. But it doesn't begin with him. It begins within. Number two, comprehend the temptations. Comprehend the temptations. Verse number 14, James chapter number 1. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Comprehend the temptations. Comprehend their process. Let me give you four words to help describe the process here that takes place. First one is desire. That's another word for lust. Lust means desire. We hear that word lust today and we kind of automatically think of some desire for sexual immorality. But the word lust simply means desire. Every man is drawn away of his own desires. It begins there. Some desires are normal and natural and right when they are used in the right way. Others can be drawn into things that are wrong and evil and illicit and immoral quickly. But those desires are in you. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires. Those desires begin where? They're in us. They are there in us. It is the inclination of the soul to enjoy, the inclination of the soul to have. I want that. There is a desire that is in you. Then there is a deception that takes place, or rather more than one deception that takes place. The first deception is the enticement. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The word enticed there is baited. Baited. Now, if you've ever been fishing, you know what bait is, right? You take a hook, and that hook, there is nothing good in a hook to a fish. Correct? That fish does not want to be caught by that hook, does not want to be trapped. Period. Nothing good in it. But you put something good on it to hide the hook. You get a worm. And you wrap that thing around there and you try to hide the hook in there. And then you go fishing. You throw that baited hook into the water and you see if the fish are going to bite. Now, fish don't reason. They don't go up to that and say, you know, Mom said worms don't swim in the middle of the water. And I shouldn't bite on anything if I see it swimming in the middle of the water. So I won't do that and swim away. No, they're just simply hungry and they want to eat and they will bite. And when they bite, they get hooked. And then they become dinner. Satan, this world, seeks to entice you. They seek to get you to sin. They seek to get you to be drawn away of your own lust. That desire that is in you, they always put bait out there to trap you. But what does the bait cover? A hook. A trap. It's always a deception that is taking place. They want to promise you freedom, but there's no freedom in a hook. There's no freedom in a trap. They want to promise you satisfaction, but that can never bring satisfaction. They promise you this and promise you that, but it is all deception. And they seek to catch you. They seek to entrap you, to ensnare you, to hook you. And that is the deception that's out there. But that's not the only deception that takes place. Remember, the desire comes from within us. And the only reason the trap looks good, the only reason the bait looks good, the enticement looks good, is because of the desire that's in us. We want it. And for believers, we know it's a trap. We know there's a hook. We know this is not good. So not only does Satan and the world seek to deceive us, we play along and deceive ourselves. You see, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God in the next verse says in Jeremiah, I, the Lord, know the heart. We deceive ourselves. No, it's okay for me to nibble at this for a while. It is okay for me to kind of play around the edges of sin. It is okay in this instance because of this reason or that reason or this justification. It is okay for me, and we deceive ourselves. And when we do so, we are going to be in trouble. Amen. The outward deception is there, the enticement covering the trap. But we play right along and we kid ourselves into thinking that we can sin and get away with it. Or we can practice safe sin and not get hooked, not get trapped, not become ensnared by what Satan is offering us. Can't happen. Desire, deception, design. The lust is in us. The bait is outside of us. We want what is there. We're being fooled into thinking it is okay. We've justified and rationalized in our own mind why it is okay. And then we design a plan to get it. We come up with a plan to make it happen. David was out on his porch when he should have been with his men fighting a battle. He sees Bathsheba. Well, you've got desire and then deception and then design. As he formulates in his mind how he is going to sin. And the fourth D is disobedience. The sin takes place. Now, trust me, the earlier you stop in this process and get away from it, the better chance you have of not falling into sin. The longer you wait in this process, the better chance you have of falling into sin. It's just that simple. We all have those desires. They're in everyone. Flee those things. Oh, sometimes the bait will be planted. Sometimes Satan will make sure it is there. You will see the trap. You will see the bait. Flee, flee at that moment. Don't wait. Don't seek to justify and think about it. Because if you do, you'll continue on. Then the design will take place. How are you going to accomplish this? How is it going to happen? And then there'll be disobedience. Understand, that is the process of temptation in your life. And if you will run away at the earliest beginning point, the better off you will be. Amen. He switches metaphors in verse number 15 from baiting and fishing and hunting to childbirth. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He paints a picture here of when your inward desire, that inward lust, comes together with that outward bait, that outward enticement, and the disobedience occurs, and you have sinned. He looks at it like the consummation of a marriage and says, something is born. And what is born is sin. And that sin will deliver a stillborn child. Death. For the wages of sin is what? Death. And he says here, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. When these two, the lust and enticement, are joined in an unholy union, sin is born. And it brings death. When you sin, something dies. God is not mocked. It dies. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian, wrote it this way. In our members, there is a slumbering inclination toward desire, which is both sudden and fierce. With irresistible power, desire seizes mastery of the flesh. All at once, a secret smoldering fire is kindled. The flesh burns and is inflamed. It makes no difference whether this desire is lust for sex or power or money. At this moment, God is quite unreal to us. He loses all reality, and the desire for the creature is real. The only reality is the devil, and the devil doesn't fill us with hatred of God, but with forgetfulness of God. The lust that's aroused envelops the mind and the will of man in deepest darkness. The powers of clear discrimination and decisions are taken from us. It is here that we rise up against the Word of God. That is exactly what happens in temptation. So we need to make sure we combat it from the earliest aspect of it. Amen. So number three, combat the temptations. Combat the temptations. Remember, with testings, we're to cooperate with them. With testings that come from God, we're to yield to God, yield our will, and trust Him in everything. With temptation, a solicitation to evil, we're to never give in. We are to fight it every step of the way. Amen? And it begins before we get to the temptation. You must begin fighting now. You must begin fighting today. You've got to combat that temptation before you get there. Because if you wait till you get there, you're too far down that process in order to turn back too many times. Start to fight it now. How do you combat those temptations? Number one, stay away from any tempting situation. How many? Any and all. Stay away from them completely. Do not put yourself in a tempting situation. Go in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 7. Proverbs chapter number 7. Do not place yourself in a tempting situation. That is just, what's a good word? Dumb. And that's not strong enough. Amen? Proverbs, chapter number 7, verse number 1. My son, keep my words, lay at my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. He was in the wrong place. Period. Is there any question about that? None. Would that temptation have been there had he not been in this place? Possibly. But he put himself in the worst possible place he could have been. He placed himself where temptation was easy. He put himself where sin was available. He put himself where he could reach out, take hold of sin, and disobey God. And when we do that, we're not helping ourselves at all. We're putting ourselves in a tempting situation. We're putting ourselves where our desire and that deception will come together. We'll make a design. There'll be disobedience, and we will sin. Don't put yourself in a tempting situation. Period. Number two, live in the Word of God. He begins here in chapter 7, book of Proverbs, Solomon. He says, my son, keep my words and lay at my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee. It's the Word of God that will keep you from sin. It's the Word of God that will keep your heart pure and your mind where it should be. And nothing else can do it like the Word of God. Amen. Live in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse number 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse number 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What did Jesus Christ use in his temptation to combat Satan? The Word of God. It is written. You've got to live in the Word of God. Before you get yourself to temptation, before you find yourself in that place, be in the Word of God daily. Allowing God to fill your heart, your mind with His thoughts, His will, His desires for your life, so you understand and have the strength to say no to sin. A dusty Bible inevitably leads to a dirty life. It pretty much is that simple. Stay away from tempting situations. Live in the Word of God. Number three, develop a deep prayer life. Develop a deep prayer life. James chapter 4, verse number 7 tells us to draw close to God, and He will draw close to us. Amen? Draw close to God. Draw nigh to God. Develop that deep prayer life. You see, as you get closer to a holy God, which direction are you moving in reference to sin? Away from it. You cannot come into the presence of a holy God with sin in your life. So as you draw close to a holy God, you will leave sin behind. So learn to pray. Learn to pray all the time. I talked about it last Sunday night. Prayer should be a constant connection, a constant communion with God from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed at night. Good morning, Lord. And then you don't stop praying till you say amen and put your head back on the pillow to go to sleep at night. Amen. And you're praying to God about everything that is going on all day long. He's there. He's your companion. He's your friend. He's your strength. He's your refuge. He's your security. He is everything. develop that prayer life. Make it real. Make it deep. Amen. You avoid tempting situations. You live in the Word of God. You develop that deep prayer life. And even through all of that, there will be times that temptation will still reach you. Oh, you've done your best. You've done your part. You haven't brought any more on to yourself, any more temptation than is absolutely out there. You've not prepared a place to go and get it. But every now and then, after you've done everything you can, temptation will still come your way. What are you told to do then? Flee. Flee. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. Flee. Run. Don't wait. Get yourself out of that place. Amen? I can go back to the life of Joseph to see this in play. Joseph is being tempted by Potiphar's wife on a daily basis. On a daily basis, he says, no, 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 no. One day, this temptation is great. She grabs him by his robe. And what does he do? He runs. He flees. He gets out of there as fast as he possibly can. And he did not sin. Amen? He was doing what he should be doing. He was doing the right things. He was avoiding anything that was possible. But finally, sin slapped him in the face anyway, and he took off running. And because he did that, he did not sin. Amen. We need to do the exact same thing. Oh, put up the walls. Put up the barriers. Make sure they are there. Don't put yourself in a tempting situation. Live in the Word of God. Develop that deep prayer life. But if sin, temptation still gets over those three walls, when it slaps you in the face, run. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Run. Because sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Nothing's going to come to you that other people don't face, aren't facing, haven't faced. It's normal. It will come. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. Through this entire process of desire, deception, design, disobedience, God is faithful. And every step of the way, there is a way to escape. Every step of the way, there is a way out. Find it. Use it. And get out. Amen. Do not fall into sin at all. And Christian, do not ever get to the place where you say, well, I can do this sin because God's going to forgive me anyway. That's called presumptuous sin. And that's the worst thing you could possibly do. Amen. Do not think that you can sin because God will forgive you. That is the height of deception on our part. We're kidding ourselves. Don't do it. Why does God hate sin? Because He's a cosmic killjoy who wants to make sure you don't have any fun in this life. No. because he loves you. And he knows that death, tragedy, heartache, suffering are all that comes from sin. If God said no, it's because he loves you and his way is better. Amen. You can trust him. He knows what is best for you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done. I thank you so much for Christ, for salvation, for your word. Lord, you've clearly told us where temptations come from, how they work in our lives, and how we can avoid them. Lord, I pray that we would understand you've given us this process. You've told us how all this works so that we could live sin-free. We can. It is possible. If we don't, because we made wrong choices.